You're listening to Anita Marks on 98.7 ESPN.
Man, I'll tell you what, Ty, feels good, dude. Feels, you know what? It feels legit, right? Like, I'm not doing the show from like the living room of my apartment. Dogs going crazy. It's like I've arrived. I've got this beautiful studio now in the back of my apartment, and it feels right. Just in time. Football season is here. We've been waiting forever and a day. It's just like, do you know when the stars align properly and then all of a sudden like you're in a groove and you're in a jam? That's kind of like I'm in my jam right now. Does that make sense?
Yes, that's how I feel every Saturday morning. The stars have aligned. I'm in the groove.
Is that right?
It's week one of the NFL season. We thought it might get delayed. It didn't. Fingers crossed that we have no impediments tomorrow. And, you know, we're finally
Interesting word to use there. yeah. And listen, throw me in there. If you recall, and you and I have been working on Saturdays together since, you know, as I like to call it, our pandemic pause. And I've said before, I used the word shocked. I said I was going to be shocked if the NFL started on time. And sure enough, here we are. And they did start on time. We had a game on Thursday night. What a good one. Mama was able to buy a few pairs of shoes, by the way. I had Kansas City minus 6.5. I had Kansas City minus 9. I had Clyde Edwards-Alaire, which, by the way, I just found out this week how to properly pronounce his last name. Did you know the H was silent? I didn't know that until, like, 5 o'clock on Thursday. Are you aware of that?
I was not.
I know. See, learn something. This is why you listen to the Anita Marks show here on 98.7 ESPN. So it's, and this is what's funny about it. So it's Clyde Edwards-Alaire, like Eclair Alaire. The H is silent. Meanwhile, I finalized. I'm in 9. You know, typically I'm in 12. So I downsized this year. I'm in 9 fantasy leagues. So in each and every year, I target a player that I want to make sure that I have across the board, like a common denominator player that I like to have on my squad, on my roster. Follow the story here because I kind of like shot myself in the foot. It's so stupid that I did this. So I like to have that player on my team, and I like to base my team name that I change each and every year to that one player that I like. And Edwards-Alaire was the player that I was targeting. So my fantasy football team name this season. Are you ready for this, Ty?
I'm ready.
It is That's Hilarious.
Oh, God. Don't quit your day job. Don't do it.
Oh, let me take a sip of my Pellegrino.
How long did you hold that one in the holster?
So stupid, right? I know. But now I find out it doesn't even make sense because it's That's Hilarious. H is silent. It's not even hilarious. It's hilarious. So the team name doesn't even make sense. On top of that, like an idiot, I change my settings and I put, you know, ESPN came up with this cute little caricature for me. So if you go to ESPN.com and if your fantasy football's site, if that's who's hosting your site, and hopefully it should be. Although I will say this, NFL.com, I love they instituted this new drafting grid that they used. Let me ask you, Ty, how many fantasy leagues are you in?
You're going to be very disappointed in me. I almost don't even want to say.
You're in 0, aren't you?
So just for proper perspective, how many are you in?
I just said I downsized this year. I went from 12 to 9.
That's not really downsizing. I've opted out of the fantasy football season this year.
But here's where you know, and that's so sad. Here's where you know you've arrived. I'm in a league where I am a co-owner, co-host with the Hoboken mayor, Ravi B. Oh, you wow. know you've arrived when the mayor of your city asks for you to be their partner in fantasy football.
So you've got a studio now. You are in the fantasy football league with the mayor of Hoboken. You've definitely arrived. 2 for 2.
I think I've arrived.
Can't nobody tell you anything right now.
So let me finish my story. So like an idiot, I I upload, you know, and here's another, this is how you know you arrived. ESPN creates a caricature of you for the fantasy football site. So like, you know, when you go in and you could like put in a logo and you have choices, you know, there's Matthew Berry, there's Stefania Bell, there's Field Yates. Well, they created one for me too. So I'm feeling really good about this season. Things are, I mean, 2020 sucks. Let's be honest, people. 2020 just absolutely freaking sucks. But there's small victories within. There's small silver linings within. Let's be honest. Okay? And I think we could say that for everybody. So, but back to my story. And it's 8 minutes into the show. I've taken so long to get here. Like an idiot, I named my teams and I changed, you know, my individual team settings before my drafts. So you know what everybody did, Ty? They went out and they drafted Clyde Edwards-Helaire before I could even get to him in leagues that I was drafting like beyond seven.
That's so, what you get for counting your chickens before they hatch.
Before they hatch. I know. Idiot. I'm just such an idiot. So anyway, long story longer. I don't have him in all nine leagues. I really wanted him, but I don't have him. But I have him in a few, and he crushed it. So how exciting was Thursday night?
I mean, to be honest, it was a snooze fest because the Chiefs.
Stop it!
No, if we're being honest about the actual game.
We are always honest, which by the way, the H is silent. No, I'm kidding.
Actual game stunk because the Chiefs are just so far ahead of everyone else in the league.
Haven't played the Ravens yet.
The Ravens are on that same tier. But what we know is the Texans have no chance of beating them. And the game
just, that's because of Bill O'Brien. O'Brien just sucks.
The game
I'm
just
sorry.
Wasn't
just
competitive. Sucks. Like you were all excited because it was football. We miss it. It's opening night. You know, you got Deshaun Watson versus Patrick Mahomes. So obviously that's going to create some intrigue. But as far as the game itself, it stunk. The actual game stunk.
So here's where I'm going to go with that. You know why it probably stunk for you? And you're probably right. And I'm not going to say probably. You are right. Mismatch. Kansas City Chiefs, head and shoulders, way above the Texans. There's no denying that, Ty. Okay? But here's the thing. If you had your money on Clyde Edwards-Helaire over 49 rushing yards, man, you were glued to the TV. If you had money on Will Fuller over 61 receiving yards, man, you were on the edge of your seat. You were biting your nails. If you had Deshaun Watson over 28 and a half rushing yards, you were screaming at the TV all the way to the last minute. You know why? Because that prop bet didn't come in. It missed it by 1.5 yards. That's the only prop bet I lost on Thursday night, Ty. The only one. Kansas City at the half, Kansas City -9, Patrick Mahomes over 2.5 touchdown passes, you name it. I mean, I went crazy. I went ballistic because it was Thursday night. I was a kid in a candy store. I had my whole list of prop bets, everything. And you know, again, this is how, you know, when you have the, and God bless Jersey. I mean, New York, man, stop being 2000 and late. You know, this is what happens when you have the ability to just get online and put those bets in, sit back and enjoy the ride. And what a more enjoyable ride it is when you're playing those prop bets, when you've got a game that was, because you're not the first person who has said that to me, you know, talking about the Thursday night game. Oh, it was a snooze fest. Oh, it was hard for me to stay awake. Well, you know, if you had little individual bets and wagers on certain players performing to a certain way, it would have been more enjoyable. And I guess maybe that's why I enjoyed it more than most. I don't know. But listen, it's week one. So stoked for Sunday. Here's another thing for you. I tested out. I'm going because now, you know, I'm not, I don't know about you, Ty, but like, I'm not, I'm not going into restaurants. I don't, even if it's 5% capacity, I'm still not, everything I do has to be outside. I'm, if you're scared, say you're scared, and I'm scared. So, you know, there's no going to a sports bar and watching the games. So I've had to improvise. So I have 3 TVs now that I have set for Sunday. I have a 75-inch that's here in my apartment that's used as a backdrop for the ESPN Daily Wager show. We put the graphic up behind me that is on a wheelie cart. So I'm going to wheel that out, that bad boy out. I've got a 65-inch on my wall. And my neighbor across the hall, Tara, she's going to bring in her 50-inch. So on Sunday, I'll have, obviously, on one big TV, I'll have the Giants and the Jets and watch them get both their, well, the Giants play on Monday night. So I'll have the Jets on, watch their butts get handed to them by the Buffalo Bills. We'll dive into that today as well. On another, I'll have the Red Zone. And on another, I'm going to have the Ravens and the Browns. And that's my 1 o'clock. And then, of course, at the 4 o'clock games, we've got the Saints and the Bucks. Are you kidding me? Do you not feel like a kid at Christmas right now? And I know you're a Jets fan, so maybe not, because Jets are just going to get destroyed on Sunday. I hope you realize that.
Hey,
right?
Watch your mouth. I'm absolutely feeling like a kid at Christmas. Listen, the only thing that you have going for you if you're a Jets fan heading into week one is this. You haven't lost yet, and there's an opportunity for you to beat Buffalo. Right? So there's the Buffalo's the better team. Buffalo's the better team. They were a playoff team.
Is there really an opportunity?
Listen, they led 16-0 last year, right? In the third quarter before CJ Mosley got hurt.
Really an opportunity?
One can dream. We're going to see the best version of Sam Darnold in his career. Hopefully he stays healthy. This time. Your defense takes a hit because you don't have Jamal Adams and CJ Mosley. But listen, Sam Darnold, man, whenever you have that franchise quarterback, he always gives you a chance to compete and win the game. So now we learn if he actually is the franchise quarterback, because I saw Deshaun Watson and Patrick Mahomes on Thursday night, and I was dreaming about having one of those franchise great quarterbacks, because it's been a while, and I've actually never seen it before. I'm only 27.
Well, let's start right there. Let's start with the Jets. 800-919-3776. We come back, I'll give you all the reasons why you want to. It's probably my best bet on the board right now, and that's the Buffalo Bills -6, 6.5 in some places. I really do believe that this line is going to jump to 7, 7.5 by kickoff tomorrow. Possibly could, I think, with money flow and where the public is putting their money. So we get back. Let's talk about the Bills and the Jets. 800-919-3776. Hopefully I won't make Ty cry. Bill Barnwell. So this is how our Saturdays are going to roll. Bill Barnwell from ESPN is going to join us at 1 o'clock. Cynthia Freeland is going to join us at 2 o'clock. Ty is going to put together a fun click or don't click for us. We'll be taking your calls. We'll be talking a lot about the Giants, a lot about the Jets, a lot about the NFL in general, some huge storylines, probably none bigger or better or more interesting than Tom Brady going up against the Saints for the late afternoon game on Sunday. And then, of course, Cam Newton in his Patriots debut. What do I expect from those two games? And let's talk some fantasy, because this is week one. Hopefully you had Clyde Edwards-Helaire active and attractive on your fantasy roster, as well as Will Fuller. If not, let's discuss.
You're listening to Anita Marks on 98.7 ESPN.
The Jets getting ready for their week one opponent in the Buffalo Bills. 800-919-3776. Okay, so let's break it down. And I know for Jets fans that are listening right now, probably hate me, because I was pretty, it wasn't the nicest, easiest way. It was to say that the Jets are going to lose on Sunday. But it's truly my favorite bet on the board, and that's the Bills -6.5. And here's the thing. Not a lot of people feel that way. I think the Bills are going to win the division, and you can get them right now at +120. And I had this conversation with a friend of mine that I golfed with yesterday, and she's from Cuba, New York, which is right outside of Buffalo. So she's a huge Buffalo fan. and we were having a conversation. I said, you know, I think why a lot of people aren't on Buffalo is because they're not a sexy team. And like, she took offense to that. And I was like, why are you so offended? I'm not saying you're not sexy. I'm just saying your team's not sexy. Do you understand what I mean by that, Ty? Like when somebody says, well, they're not a sexy team, it has a lot to do with brand, right? It has a lot to do with how your team is perceived, how your team makes somebody, creates a feeling or a sensation.
So nothing to do with curves.
No, nothing to do with curves.
I was confused.
The Buffalo Bills brand is nothing to write home about. You know, it's like nobody's rushing out to go buy like a Buffalo Bills t-shirt unless you live in Buffalo, right? But like the Cowboys are a sexy team. The Steelers are a sexy team. The Ravens have become a sexy team because of Lamar Jackson and the style of offense they play, right? Like when you talk about the Bills, even though I anticipate them to be really good and win the division, they're not a sexy team. And, you know, majority of people who gamble, who wager, aren't, you know, they're just, you know, they're not sharks. You know, they're not experts out there. You know, I think a lot of times they let the brand or the vision of the team affect their thinking or their analysis. So a few things in regard to the Buffalo Bills and why I think they're going to be so dominant this year and why I think the Jets, this is not a great week one game for them. First of all, the Jets having to go on the road. Understand that there are new travel protocols that are being implemented in the NFL. Like, for example, when the Jets go on the road, and I would imagine that they're leaving today. I know that there was some talk and speculation that some NFL teams would hold off and not travel until the day of the game. I don't know if that's what the Jets are doing since it's not that far of a ride, but teams that are traveling, when they arrive to the hotel, usually what had happened before was players were allowed to, they arrive to the hotel, maybe they have a quick team meeting, and then they're able to hit the town. And they go out and they meet up with certain people that maybe they want to meet up with that they flew into town to see, maybe not. They go to dinner, maybe they go to dinner with their selective group that they play in. And then they come back and there's typically like late night meeting. And then curfew is like at 11 o'clock and then you wake up in the morning and you get ready that's not the case now. Like you travel with the team, you have to quarantine with the team. You're not allowed to leave the hotel. You're not allowed to hang out in the hotel lobby. You know, if you read or hear what a lot of the Major League Baseball players are talking about, and this is different than the bubble, right? You're in the bubble, at least you've got a whole community that's quarantined. So you're in the bubble. You can still go get your hair cut. You could still go to the cafe and get something to eat. Like you could still socialize. There's a game room. That's not the case for Major League Baseball players. You are quarantined to a hotel. And the only thing you could do is go from the hotel to the stadium and back. And Major League Baseball players are having a really hard time with it. And they're saying like, we feel like we're in prison. So I think that's going to take a lot of getting used to for a lot of these NFL players. So that's first and foremost, the responsibility and the heaviness of the traveling protocols, I think is going to play a role in teams going on the road. Could very well be wrong. I just don't think so, based on the conversations I'm having and all the hoops that a lot of teams are having to jump through in order to go on the road and travel and do what all the NFL is anticipating them to do. Okay, because I know a lot of people are saying, well, oh, no home field advantage because there's not going to be a lot of fans, if any, and the sound that's being piped in to the stadiums are going to be certain decibel levels. So it's not like, which I don't think is fair, by the way. You know, like you've got for the 12th man in Seattle, because that stadium is so loud and because it's such an intricate part of what they do. And Ty, tell me if you think I'm wrong here, and I'll open up the phone lines, 800-919-3776. I think I think that the Seattle Seahawks should have be able are entitled to an elevated level of decibel because of what they've been able to create at their home stadium. I think you can say the same thing for Kansas City. I think you could say the same thing. I'm trying to think of like stadiums that are very, very difficult to play in for opposing teams because of crowd noise and what they're in. They're known for that. So I'm not sure if people are aware. Did you know this, Ty, that you had, there is a decibel level that you have to abide by for teams that are going to be piping in music? Or were you aware of that?
Yes. Yeah, of course.
Okay. Okay. Well, no, I had the conversation yesterday with a few people, and there were quite a few people who weren't aware of that. So, there's perception that home field advantage isn't going to be as strong this year because of that. I disagree. I think the weight of what it's going to take to travel, and how players are going to have to quarantine and how their lives are going to change when they do. I'm not calling any specific player out. I'm just saying a lot of players look forward to going on the road, if you know what I mean, right? And like, that's changing. You can't leave the hotel. Nobody could come visit you. It is like, as the Major League Baseball players are saying, they feel like they're in prison. And I think that's going to have an effect. I really do. So that's number one. I still believe that home field advantage has an advantage just based on the fact that this is a team that is having to travel during COVID-19.
You're listening to Anita Marks on 98.7 ESPN.
And we've got a pleasant surprise. This dude is probably on his way home from a round of golf. I wouldn't be surprised. And that is Greeny. Joining us, Mike Greenberg, calling in the show. Greeny, how you doing? Did you play golf today?
I wish you were right. I'm actually going to pick up my son, who, like a lot of other kids his age, finally got a chance to take the ACT today, because it has been delayed and delayed and delayed and delayed. So hopefully he'll be in a good mood when I get there. But I'm on my way to pick him up and listening to you as always. And I wanted to respond to something I just heard that caller Buddha say. And I appreciate his passion. Look, all of us who love the Jets, the frustration, I feel it. And obviously we all feel frustrated. And I agree with some of what he said. But what I am not here for is the Sam Darnold slander. The idea that the Jets should be trying to think about drafting Trevor Lawrence. I don't know what you think, Anita, but I believe we have our quarterback. And I think Sam Darnold is the most talented quarterback the Jets have ever had. Certainly since Namath, and as far as pure talent, he may even be better than Namath was. He has a long way to go, obviously, but the job of the franchise when you get someone that good is to develop him. We've done a terrible job of that so far, and I'm very afraid that this year isn't going to be much better because of the lack of offensive weapons. They're going to need a really creative plan with Le'Veon Bell. I'm thrilled that they finally did something about the offensive line in front of him, so hopefully that will be better. But what I am convinced of is that if the Jets do the right things, they have the quarterback in place. And so I just wanted to say that. I heard Buddha talking about trying to draft Trevor Lawrence. I don't think that's what the Jets should be thinking about at all. We need players on the outside who can help Darnold become what he should be, which is an elite quarterback, which I genuinely believe he can be. And if and when he is, the Jets should really be in a much better place a year from now than they are this minute.
Yeah, I mean, Greeny, you know I'm a draft nut, and I go to the combine, and it's my favorite week of the year, and I feel blessed that I get to pick the brain of some of the best scouts out there. And I will tell you that in the conversations that I've had with scouts, they have shared with me, I'll steal a phrase from Michael Lombardi. It's called the crib factor, something you're born with, something you can't teach. And what Sam Darnold has is anticipation, knowing when to release the ball, knowing when to throw the ball. And that, again, is something that you are born with. You can't teach it, and he has it. And it's one of the most valuable characteristics of a quarterback in the NFL. With that being said, I think you're right. I think they do have their quarterback of the future, but I'm not sold on Adam Gase. I feel that, this young man has been dealt a bad hand, and I'm not just talking about the mono. I'm talking about everything that this organization has put around him, from coaches to general managers. Although I do love Joe D. I know Joe D from my Baltimore days. I believe in that man. But you know, you compare Sam Darnold to, let's say, the situation that that Lamar Jackson was thrown into, right? You've got the Baltimore Ravens. They draft Lamar Jackson and they build this offense around him from the skilled position players that they brought in. And it's just, it's night and day. Lamar Jackson has been dealt a royal flush, and Sam Darnold's been dealt a pair of twos. So, you know, Greeny, I think you're absolutely right, but here's the thing. I think it's going to take some time. It's not going to happen this year. It's not going to happen next year. Maybe two years from now. But do New York fans have the patience, Greeny?
Well, we don't really have any choice but to have the patience. We don't get to make these decisions. What I don't disagree with anything you just said. No one has been more critical of Gase over the time, I guess it's only been 1 year, but the time that he's been here than I have been. But what I will say is, if they try to start over with a new quarterback, then you're just on the same hamster wheel that you're running circles in and not getting anywhere. The Jets the quarterback is maybe the only problem we don't have. That's what I'm trying to say. And yes, they will probably start over again with a new coach and thus a new offensive system next year. And that's a problem. I mean, that's what the good organizations don't do. And we are not a good organization. We have not given anyone any reason to believe we're a good organization in years. So I believe there will be a coaching change after this season, and Darnold will have to start over again. My big fear is that the fans will turn on him. They will point at him. And the ownership will decide, well, we need to start over again, and the fans are clamoring for a new quarterback, and there's someone sitting there in the draft. I'll just say this to the point you just made, Anita. An even better example than Lamar Jackson is Patrick Mahomes, who is now headed towards being the greatest quarterback maybe of all time. And he is insanely talented and fabulous. I take nothing away from him. He's incredible. But if you had drafted Sam Darnold into the exact circumstances he is in, Sam Darnold will be a superstar right now, a superstar. If he had been brought in with that coaching staff and that talent around him, that organizational stability, Sam Darnold would be a superstar. And that is an indication of the fact that more quarterbacks in the NFL are ruined than developed. And what the Jets need desperately to do, and what the fans need desperately to hope, is that the Jets do not ruin him, but that they develop him. And I am nervous about it, but I'll just say one more time, and I'll let you go because I know you have a lot of other people waiting to talk. What I really hope they don't do is make the mistake of thinking that one of the places they need to start over again is at quarterback. I firmly believe they have the guy to play that position.
Greeny, great to hear your voice. Hopefully your son crushed his ACT and continue to do a fabulous job with Get Up. Love watching it every morning, my friend.
Thank you. I'll see you soon. Keep me entertained here. I got a long drive.
You got it. Mike Greenberg joining us here on 98.7 ESPN. We get back. Bill Barnwell is going to join us. He is a staple here on Saturdays now. 1 o'clock, Bill Barnwell. 2 o'clock, Cynthia Freeland. Football wall to wall. So stoked about it. Week one, man. Let's get it done. Anita Marks with you, 98.7 ESPN. Let's talk about the Giants. Monday Night Football, game one. We get two games on Monday night. That's fun. Denver and Tennessee will be the late game out there at Mile High, which I think is going to be really tough for the Tennessee Titans players. No preseason games. No one, let's be honest, no one really in quote-unquote football shape. Now they have to travel to Denver and play at Mile High. There's not enough oxygen in the world that's going to keep that Tennessee Titans, especially their defense, breathing properly. But anyway, back to the Giants. So Giants are taking on the Pittsburgh Steelers. Let's start with the Giants first and foremost. Just as, you know, Greeny called in the show not too long ago and he was talking about Sam Darnold and he's pretty adamant that he feels that his team, the Jets, have their franchise quarterback. And I agree with him. And as we talked about, he just hasn't been dealt a very good hand. It's not that Daniel Jones has been dealt a worse hand. It's just, it's difficult. As we know, Daniel Jones coming into his second season and now having to learn a new system, and that is Jason Garrett's system. That's tough in a COVID-19 preseason. that's very difficult. Got a late jump start in getting in, not being able to come to the facility and having to learn everything on Zoom, which, listen, you know, I love Zoom, but I love Zoom for happy hours on Friday night at 7 o'clock with my friends, not to try to really dive into a new playbook with Jason Garrett. Not only that, no preseason games. This is a year for me that I'm going to reserve judgment on young quarterbacks, whether they're, you know, and as we know, only one rookie quarterback is starting the season, and that is Joe Burrow in Cincinnati. But even second-year quarterbacks, especially second-year quarterbacks like Daniel Jones, that are having to learn a new system and having an entire new coaching staff come in, which is kind of unheard of, let's be honest. Typically, when an organization and a head coach and a general manager go out and draft a rookie quarterback, that means that that organization is typically, more times than not, committed to that regime for at least 3 years. But obviously, that's not the case. I think the Giants felt like they fell in love with Joe Judge and the highly recommended from Bill Belichick. And why do I always draw a blank? Alabama head coach, Ty. Why do I always? Nick Saban. Highly recommended from both Nick Saban and Bill Belichick, and the Giants felt like this was an opportunity they couldn't pass on. Okay, I get it, but you know this is I do believe in Daniel Jones. He has proven me wrong, and I was probably one of the most critical people out there in the media for the Giants drafting him as early as they did. I think he's sneaky athletic. And I think he's going to be an excellent quarterback for this organization. I just don't have big expectations for him this year. I think this is going to be a growing year. I think this is going to be a learning year. I think this is a year where Joe Judge comes in and everything that we're hearing and how he's run practice over there in East Rutherford, that this is a year that, you know, he's implementing, he's changing an organizational culture. That, and take it from someone who was there when Tom Coughlin was there and was there for the change to Ben McAdoo and Pat Shurmur. You know, this organization, the organizational culture has not been a healthy one for years since Tom left. And Joe Judge is trying to change that. So what are my expectations for the Giants this season? Not much. So I do agree with Stephen A. Smith. And probably Saquon Barkley is the only fantasy football player that I have on any roster that I would even consider drafting on any team when it comes to fantasy. So I don't have hefty expectations for Daniel Jones. I think this is going to be a learning year for him. What is he working with? Sterling Shepard, unfortunately, and it concerns me, deals with migraines because of the concussions. I worry about the young man, especially as he gets older in life. Golden Tate, he's dealing with a hamstring issue. Might be a game time decision on Monday night. If he does go, it's a risk. Of course, you know what you get with Saquon Barkley. Evan Ingram, ton of talent, but the dude's got like 15 screws in his foot. Is that going to last 16 games? No, it's not. So if you drafted Ingram in your fantasy league, this is my advice to you. Wait till he has a huge monster game and like around week 4, week 5, try to trade him. Because he's not going to last 16 games. He's just not. They draft, in my opinion, the best offensive lineman coming out this season. Love Thomas. But like I talked about Becton, it takes a good 3 years for a rookie lineman to really learn how to play the position. And you're throwing both these rookies into the left tackle position. Oh my goodness gracious. They're going up against the best in the business who have more moves. Then, do I want to be stupid and silly here, Ty? I don't know. Shakira? And that's part of the position. It's not just athleticism. It's not just strength. It's not just size. It's not just good feet. It's knowing moves. It's outwitting your opponent, which, again, playing on that left tackle position, you're going up against the best in the business in the NFL. So is Daniel Jones and Sam Darnold going to be pressured from their blind side? Oh, yeah, they are, because they have rookies that are defending them on that side. So have realistic expectations. On the defensive side of the ball for the Giants, outside of Lorenzo Carter, who's gonna get after the quarterback? Who's going to pin their ears back and get after like a Ben Roethlisberger come Monday night? No one. This defense possibly could be one of the worst in the NFL. And now you've got a healthy Ben Roethlisberger coming in because it is week one. So we can bank that he's healthy. And I'm sure Steeler fans are praying to God that he lasts four quarters. You do have depth at the running back position. I hear Snell has been very impressive in camp, even though James Conner is their lead back. Juju is looking to redeem himself this year with Ben Roethlisberger back. You've got Johnson, Washington, who both stepped up big time last year with subpar quarterbacks and made some noise. Ebron makes his way over there at the tight end position from the Colts. They've got talent on offense, but really what this game is going to come down to is defense. And with TJ Watt and Minkah Fitzpatrick, it's going to get ugly. It's going to get ugly. And it's going to get ugly fast. So that's another line that I'm surprised. And listen, it's week one, so I get why these lines are what they are, but I'm still a little surprised. Steelers -6 on Monday night against the Giants. 800-919-3776. I know we've got some callers that are wanting to chime in. Lee in Long Island, Brooklyn J, who's in his car as well. This is what we'll do. We'll take a quick break. We come back and we'll get to your calls. Also, I want to talk fantasy. I know that I've got 9 leagues. I mentioned Scotty Miller. If there's no Mike Evans, as you know, I like to call it active and attractive on Sunday afternoon for Tom Brady. Everything we're hearing out of the Tampa Bay Bucs camp in regards to the chemistry and what we've even heard Tom Brady talk about Scotty Miller, wide receiver, second-year wide receiver, he likes this young man. You can get him in fantasy, especially DFS, for $4,000. That's on the cheap. So if there's no Mike Evans, keep an eye on that.
You're listening to Anita Marks on 98.7. ESPN.
So, you know, again, I don't like to talk about the obvious. Like, if you drafted Lamar Jackson, you probably draft him in the second or third round, you know you're going to start the dude, right? Dak Prescott against the Rams, Russell Wilson against Atlanta, Carson Wentz, well, maybe some won't. All right, let me preface by saying, if you're scared, say you're scared. Do I have concerns in regard to the offensive line and the fact that they're already ridden. Thank you, Ty. heading into week one, yes, I have some concerns, but I believe in Carson Wentz. I think he's an exceptional quarterback. Granted, can he stay healthy? I know that's a big question mark, but also the plethora of weapons of the skilled position players that they have around him is just ridiculous. I think Kyler Murray is going to have a good game against San Francisco, even though San Francisco's defense is one of the best in the business. So those guys, you went out and you drafted them. I think you probably drafted them sooner besides Carson Wentz. I think you drafted, like, you know, the Russell Wilsons and the Kyler Murrays early. So you're going to start them. Here are some of the guys that maybe you started late that I really like heading into this week. Love me Matt Ryan against Seattle. I think people are sleeping on the Atlanta Falcons. I think their offense is going to be so explosive. And I think a ton of points. I love the over in the Atlanta-Seattle game. I think a ton of points. This very well could be the highest scoring game in week one. And I love Matt Ryan. Jared Goff. I think Jared Goff will be playing and competing as comeback player of the year. I think there's a shot that he could win comeback player of the year this year. And I would lay some coin on that, by the way. Going up against Dallas, the Rams are at home. If you go back and you look at game film of how the Rams finished the season last year, a lot of 12 personnel, which really played into Jared Goff's game. And you've got Cooper Kupp, who's healthy, Woods, who's healthy, Higby, their tight end. I'm excited to see what they're going to do in that backfield. They drafted Cam Akers. And their defense is sick. I really like the Rams. In fact, I do like the Rams in week one. I like the Rams getting 3. If that jumps to 3.5, which I think it will at kickoff, because, you know, the Cowboys are America's team. and everybody anticipating the Cowboys to win the division and possibly go to the Super Bowl this year. But if that line goes up to 3.5, ooh, I like it a lot. I bet the Rams plus 3.5, and I might even throw some money on the Rams money line. I think Drew Brees has a big day against the Tampa Bay Bucks. I love Ben Roethlisberger against the Giants. Giants secondary is just a mess right now. It's unfortunate, but they are. So Ben Roethlisberger, big sleeper for me. I think Tyrod Taylor can have a field day against Cincinnati. And if you're playing DFS, you can probably get Tyrod Taylor on the cheap. That's for sure. Here's another team that I think people are sleeping on, and that's the Colts and Phillip Rivers. He's now got an exceptional offensive line. Colts have top three offensive line in the NFL. They drafted Michael Pittman Jr., who I think is the best wide receiver that came out in this year's NFL draft. He's going to be a stud this season. They've already got T.Y. Hilton. Paris Campbell's going to take a step up this year. Colts are good. And Phillip Rivers going up against Jacksonville? Oh, my goodness. So those are some of the players that I really do like at the quarterback position. As for the running backs, love me some Josh Jacobs against Carolina and Austin Eckler this week against Cincinnati. Those are two running backs that I'm playing a lot in DFS, just FYI. Chris Carson against Atlanta. Like I said, a ton of points I believe is going to be put up in that game. So I love me some Chris Carson against Atlanta. Mark Ingram against Cleveland. I know there's a lot of talk about Jonathan Taylor, but I do like Marlon Mack against Jacksonville as well. I know a lot of people went out and drafted Jonathan Taylor before they drafted Marlon Mack. I do like Marlon Mack heading into week one. Antonio Gibson from Washington. I think Washington's going to be playing from behind. I love Philadelphia, and I love Philadelphia minus six, by the way. I know a lot of people are fading Philadelphia because they're worried about the offensive line. I get it, and I respect that. I just believe too much in Carson Wentz and the skilled position players that they have, and just I'm expecting Washington to just be bad this season. But Antonio Gibson, because I do anticipate Washington playing from behind, I am, from what I understand, Gibson running back will be utilized in the passing game a lot as well. So especially in a PPR, I really like him. Singletary for Buffalo going up against the Jets. Also a little Zach Moss in there. I think Zach Moss has got a really great matchup running inside the numbers, where Singletary is utilized more so in the passing game. James Robinson has been appointed the starting running back for the Jacksonville Jaguars going up against Indy. So that could be a nice flex play on the cheap for you, especially in DFS. Keep an eye on Miles Sanders. Apparently he's going to be on a pitch count. So what does that mean? Boston Scott for Philadelphia could get a nice workload. Same thing with Chase Edmonds. Kenyon Drake, not 100%. So Chase Edmonds going up against San Francisco could get some work as well. And keep an eye on the San Francisco game. Arizona's in San Francisco. We know about the wildfires that are going on out there, and the air quality is bad. Mostert has sickle cell. And so there's talk and speculation that he might not play. So keep an eye on that if you have him in fantasy. If he doesn't play, I think Jerick McKinnon gets a heavy dose of action this coming week. So keep an eye on that. Some wide receivers I like heading into tomorrow. Love, love, love me some DeSean Jackson. Fuller is out for Washington. So sky's the limit for DeSean Jackson. He can't wait to get out there. He was injured last year. And I think Carson Wentz and him connect for some monster yardage this coming weekend. Allen Robinson against, even though I'm disappointed that they're not going with Nick Foles, I just don't get it. I get it, but I don't get it. I still like Allen Robinson against Detroit. I think a lot of points are going to be put up in that game as well. Robert Woods against Dallas. I do like him a lot. DK Metcalf against Atlanta. DJ Moore against Vegas. I love Marquise Brown. Hollywood Brown against Cleveland. Cleveland, all their DBs are pretty much going to be out. Baltimore's going to kill Cleveland. That's another game. Where's that point spread? I had that written down as well. Love that one. Ravens -7.5. Maybe I'll tease that one. Deontay Johnson, wide receiver for Pittsburgh, going up against the Giants, again, whose secondary is a mess. And like I said, I mentioned him not just a second ago. Scotty Miller, wide receiver for the Tampa Bay Bucks. If there's no Mike Evans, if Mike Evans is inactive, take a gamble. Play a little Scotty Miller for $4,000 in your DFS lineups. Really do like that. Tight ends, I think Chris Herndon is going to get a ton of volume. I think the Jets are going to be playing from behind, and Sam is going to be tossing that rock a lot. So both Chris Herndon and Crowder, not so much. I think he's going to have a tough matchup. Hayden Hurst from Atlanta, like I said, a ton of points are going to be put up in that game. Hayden Hurst against Seattle. Noah Fant. If Courtin Sutton cannot play for the Denver Broncos, love me some Noah Fant. I think Noah Fant will be utilized more as a wide receiver than a tight end in that game if there's no Sutton, if Sutton is inactive. And I just mentioned this not too long ago. Higbee, tight end for the Rams, going up against Dallas. I think he can have a big day as well. So I just shared with you some of the players, maybe flying low on the radar. Maybe you're not thinking about them off the top of your head. And maybe you are now. Those are some of the guys that I like heading into week one of the fantasy football season.
You're listening to Anita Marks on 98.7 ESPN.
In the break, I was I have a TV here in my studio, and I was asking Ty, hey, what channel is the Yankees on? And he asked, what network do you have? And I said, YouTube TV. And Ty, you laughed at me.
I just, because I'm in the studio, and here we have DirecTV and Time Warner.
So I get that.
I was expecting you to say one of those.
Right.
So it threw me off when you said YouTube TV.
And then I said, well, you laughed, and I asked, well, how much do you pay for cable? And you told me, and all I have to say is YouTube TV, $69.99, dude.
It's the way to go.
$69.99.
Quality
And what's great about it, like whenever you want to like add in, like, hey, I want the NFL Network because I want the Red Zone. Extra $10 a month.
So it doesn't already come with the NFL Network? Like your package didn't come with
it? It comes with the NFL Network, but I want the Red Zone.
Okay.
Right? So I'm paying, especially during football season, obviously. So, you know, or if you want HBO, or if you want Showtime, or it's not like, you know, a lot of times you call a cable company and like you get a bundle and you're like, well, I really don't want that as my bundle, but I want this. Mm-hmm. And you can't pick and choose what you want. Yeah. It's like it comes with the bundle and you have to pay for it because this other thing comes in the bundle, even though you don't want that thing, but you want this thing. Mm-hmm. Anyway, I'm just saying you should look into it. It's
now
I was paying at one point in time. I want to say I was paying like almost $200 and almost $300 a month in cable.
Now,
because you know, we have to watch everything. And now I think all in all it comes out to be like $80-$85 a month for me.
What do you do
like
for Wi-Fi?
That's a huge savings, dude. That's a huge savings.
Yes, yeah, tremendous. What do you do for Wi-Fi?
that's a little bit more complicated.
NFSW.
That's
not safe for the airwaves, because that's the real problem. Like, so I told you how much I was paying, and it obviously wasn't just cable. It included the Wi-Fi service, which is paramount.
but you could get whatever Verizon or whatever can just come and give you Wi-Fi for like $20 a month.
No, see, they don't charge you $20 a month. They will charge you like $70 a month.
Wi-Fi?
Where it makes more sense to just get the cable and the Wi-Fi as opposed to just the Wi-Fi. But it seems like
you're are you talking to the right people?
Yes. But it seems like you've got some bootleg and you're kind of cutting corners.
It's not a bootleg.
You're so out here funny. Streaming somebody
if I were you,
Wi-Fi.
In all seriousness, if I were you, I would make some phone calls on Monday and just see, you know, just do some research. I think you can cut some costs there, and don't laugh at YouTube TV. I think it's great. 800-919-3776. We've got some callers on Wanna Talk Fantasy. So let's get to you guys. Let's go to Steven in Detroit. Steven, welcome in.
Thanks for taking my call, Anita.
What you got for us?
So I was asking your opinion. What do you think about Henry Ruggs and the flex on DFS?
First things first. I love Ruggs. I'm expecting big things from him. I just don't know if I'm expecting big things from him in week one. Do you know what I mean? But
the Tyrell Williams got hurt and he slotted as the number one receiver. So I'm thinking he's going to get seven targets and maybe a jet sweep, you know, and as I say, throughout the season, I don't think, you know, he's a rookie hit and miss, but I think coming out the gate, you know, teams planning for that. I think he could maybe get a big
shot. You're talking DFS, right?
Yes.
Okay. So for example, the Giants secondary is god awful, right?
Mm-hmm.
So yeah. Deontay Johnson, wide receiver for Pittsburgh, going up against the Giants. I'd rather you'll probably find the same value in Johnson as you would in Ruggs. And you know what Johnson can do. He played last season. He knows this offense. Okay. Ben Roethlisberger trusts him. He's got an unbelievable matchup. So I'm throwing that name out there because I think it'd be really comparable in regard to the amount of money that you're looking to spend in your flex spot.
Okay, cool. And then one last question. What do you think about the Bengals on the money line? As I say, Joe Burrow, rookie quarterback, not throughout the season, but I think, you know, first game, LA, I'm sorry, flying, you know, to their road game. You know, what do you think about that?
Yeah, I'm staying away from it, Steven. And thank you for your phone call. I appreciate it. COVID-19, you know, not a lot of time to really digest and plan for the season. No preseason games. Marinate that for a minute. The first time Joe Burrow takes a snap in the NFL against an opponent will be live, like a real game. And the speed of the game, it's going to be a rude awakening for him. And also the Chargers secondary is really good. More than playing the Cincinnati Bengals on the money line, I'd play the over in interceptions on Joe Burrow in week one against the Chargers. I think that's a better bet.
You're listening to Anita Marks on 98.7 ESPN. This is Click.
Click, click, click.
Or don't.
Click, click, boom.
Very simply, here's the headline. Are you interested in clicking or not?
All right, Anita Marks with you. Ty, our producer in New York City, holding down the fort. Click or don't click, a fun way. We take the headlines, the titles try to lure you in, capture you, get that click or don't click based on what's trending in our sports universe. So, Ty, what are we kicking off with?
All right, I know we mentioned it earlier in the show, but just a quick recap. A lot's happening in the NFL, Anita. So let's start with the New Orleans Saints and Alvin Kamara finalizing a 5-year, $75 million contract extension, according to Adam Schefter. The deal is worth $77 million, but 34 of which is guaranteed. The average annual value of the extension, $15 million, is what Ezekiel Elliott is getting from Dallas, and only trails Christian McCaffrey, who's making $16 million with the Panthers. So we saw earlier in training camp that Kamara was given an unexcused absence for 4 days, and it looked like there was going to be some tension brewing between the Saints and the running back Kamara. But long last, he is going to be with them for the next 5 years.
Yeah, listen, we had Bill Barnwell on. He is going to be every Saturday at 1 o'clock, and we talked about this. And I've talked about this before. You know, when you talk to the best general managers in the business, you don't pay running backs or wide receivers that kind of money. You know, where you spend your most money is your quarterback, your left tackle, a shutdown corner, if you have one, and your defensive end, who's going to get after opposing quarterbacks. That's what you do. So I understand why this money was spent. I just don't know if it was wise money. Not only for him, but for Dalvin Cook, who got his as well, right?
Yes. And we moved to Dalvin Cook, who agreed to an extension with the Vikings this afternoon. 5 years, $63 million. It includes a $15.5 million signing bonus, $28 guaranteed. And, you know, we've seen a lot of running backs getting deals as of late. Joe Mixon with the Bengals, Kareem Hunt with the Browns, as I just mentioned, Kamara with the Saints. So a lot of running backs getting paid. And the Vikings, you know, big game tomorrow against the Packers, and it's week one, but those divisional matchups always feel larger, especially earlier in the season when both the teams are healthy. So the Vikings ink a deal with their running back, an extension with their running back. So do the Saints. And let's go to another extension we heard about, the Los Angeles Rams and receiver Cooper Kupp on a 3-year extension. That ties him to the team through 2023. Jalen Ramsey, he got his 5-year, $105 million extension. And that was the most lucrative contract for a defensive back in NFL history. So a lot of deals happening prior to week one, officially kicked off on Thursday, but all the other games get started tomorrow. So a lot's happening in NFL, Anita.
Yeah, I mean, it's like in the 11th hour, right? Like right before game one, you know, we told you we'd get it done, you know, and it's just happening. Like the last minute. It really, really unbelievable stuff.
All right, let's go to the association. Big, big night for me, Anita, my Lakers, with a chance to get back to the Western Conference Finals for the first time in a decade. They lost game one to the Rockets. They've since won three straight. They almost blew a 23-point lead in the fourth quarter of game four, but Caruso hit a clutch shot. Rondo, alley to LeBron James, that sealed the deal. The Lakers up 3-1, 8 o'clock tip on ESPN tonight. Rockets reeling. James Harden, what a disastrous game for 2-for-11. Another showing in a big game. He's not been clutch, and that's the big knock on Harden. You can watch him in a random January game in Washington drop 55, and all of a sudden his coach wants to call him the greatest offensive player of all time. But big games in the playoffs, he does not show up. Game 7 against OKC, he got bailed out because the Thunder couldn't score in that final possession in large part to his block, but he was terrible offensively. He was bad in game four. So his team, Houston, needs a big performance from him tonight because Mike D'Antoni could be fired. There's still a lot of question as to what's going to happen with their general manager, Daryl Morey. Are they going to blow it up? Is this going to be Harden's last game? What happens with Russell Westbrook? So a lot riding on this game. As I mentioned, game five tonight, 8 p.m. tip-off in the bubble between the Lakers and the Rockets.
Let me ask you this, because Daniel House Jr., right, got kicked out of the bubble for his violations.
Yes.
Now, I was looking at his stats, nothing to write home about. Yeah. In regard to, you know, his production. Big factor, not a factor at all, well, Ty, here's heading into tonight's game?
You can look at his numbers and say he is He's a nice piece because they only go 8 deep. But the reality is this. If you are depending on Daniel House to win you a series or to help you win a series, it means you're not a good team. And not that the Rockets are not a good team. What I'm saying is that's not the excuse. They have more than enough to be competitive in this series. I mean, it's over now. But that's not the reason why they lost game four. That's not the reason why they lost game three. If you're going to use that as an excuse, it is an indictment of your roster. But I expect the Lakers to win this game tonight pretty easily. LeBron Anthony Davis bring it home, and it's on to the Western Conference Finals to play what we thought was going to be the Clippers because they were up 16 last night. They blew that game. Jokic and Murray and Michael Porter Jr. were great in that second half. Paul Millsap. The Nuggets, 111-105 was the score last night. They pulled to within one game of tying the Clippers. Game 6 tomorrow afternoon, 1 o'clock start. How about that, Anita? So you've got a critical Game 6 between the Nuggets and the Clippers. Could very well decide, you know, the Los Angeles Clippers getting to the Western Conference Finals for the first time in their franchise's history. And yet, it's a 1 o'clock game on a Sunday where, you know, no one's going to be watching that game. Outside of me, probably. A lot of NFL action, 1 o'clock on a Sunday. That's a tough one.
Are you kidding? Absolutely. Especially week one of the NFL season.
Yeah. It's going to be hard to sell that one.
Let me ask you this, because obviously the Nuggets are going to have to win two games in order to win this series. My money is still on the Clippers to advance.
Oh, absolutely.
And this is what we all anticipated, right? Clippers and Lakers.
Yes.
A lot of, like, you know me, I sit at home, I prep, I do a lot of work. I watch a lot of sports television across the board, equal with all networks. Majority of NBA analysts are picking the Clippers to upset the Lakers. Are you?
It's a toss up to me, and I try to attack this from an objective standpoint, because as a Laker fan, you know, the natural inclination is to pick them to win this series and then win the finals. But I think it's a toss up because you've got Kawhi Leonard, who gave you 36-9-4 last night. He's been phenomenal, not just this year, but last year in the postseason, he was incredible. So you figure him and LeBron will neutralize each other on both ends, because obviously they are gifted offensively but also elite on defense. You figure that's going to happen. Who wins the battle between Anthony Davis and Paul George? And not that they're going to guard each other, but who is more productive in that series? I think that's what it comes down to. Then, yes, you have the role players. Rondo's been great for the Lakers in the last couple of games. Lou Williams has been a no-show for the Clippers. So I think it does come down to the number two options. Anthony Davis, Paul George, who has the better series? I can see it going seven, and that will be fun. LeBron in a game seven is almost unbeatable. But, you know, Kawhi, the last time he played in a game seven was in a buzzer beater affair where he knocked off the Sixers. So I think it goes seven, and I think we're in for a pretty fun one.
And on coming out of the East, it's the Heat, right? I mean, does Boston even have a shot against the Heat and how well the Heat have been playing? I know they had that one off night.
I disagree with you. I think the Celtics probably entered the series as slight favorites. Should not have gone seven with the Raptors. They were 0.8 seconds away from winning game three and essentially ending the series up 3-0. They allowed it to go seven and almost blew that game last night. I know the Heat are 8-1 and Jimmy Butler's played well, but I just think the Celtics have a better team. I'll go Celtics in six. Then we'll have Celtics again. You know, it'll be Boston, LA in the finals. Just depends on which LA team escapes, Lakers or Clippers. But I'm going with the Celtics. You said you're taking the Raptors.
I think it's going to be Lakers, Clippers, and I think the Heat advance over the Celtics, and I think the Clippers advance. I think it's going to be a Clippers Heat championship. That's what I think is going to happen.
There we have it.
You're listening to Anita Marks on 98.7 ESPN.